Good morning. Looks like my pulpit has shrunk a little bit. Makes it harder to lean on. Good morning. I apologize to the young lady in overalls. We do not have a children's lesson. In a few weeks, we'll resume that, along with the gummies and the other sugary treats I give you so that you stay active in church and make your parents question whether that was really a good idea to bring you. But we have fun. A lot of things going on for the kids out in the parking lot, and a lot of things coming up for the kids in the parking lot. So I need to get back into the children's lessons as soon as we figure it's safe now. This seems to be the word I meet in some of the young kids out around fishing and in town and stuff, and it seems like, you know, we all, as teenagers, we all had our own saying when we greeted each other. Theirs now is, be safe, be safe. So it's become their kind of catchword, which is interesting. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through chapter 10, verse 23. The workers are few is what it's titled in my Bible. And we're going to look and see what kind of workers we need to be. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons, freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, then let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Amen. Matthew's going to set up this whole section, and he's going to make it very clear what Jesus was doing and why he was doing it. But he also extends that work through the disciples. They're not doing anything on their own. They are continuing Jesus' work. And because they are following his example, they cannot expect anything more or anything less than what he's been through. Jesus was a traveling rabbi, an itinerant preacher, and Matthew specifically notes that it is in the synagogues where he is preaching. We lose that perception when we prefer to see him wandering from place to place, preaching on hilltops and along the shore. It appeals to us that he isn't in church, so to speak, within the restrictions of a liturgy. We much prefer the open-air style of Jesus preaching. Jesus didn't initially start that way, and there's a very good reason why we find him out of the synagogue. The trouble with a synagogue is that it only holds so many people, and the appeal of his message to the many yearning to know God and the unpopularity of his message among the religious leaders would, in a sense, drive him from the confines of those four walls. But his reason for going out of the synagogue wasn't solely because of lack of room or pressure from the religious leaders. His compassion drives and compels him to do so when he sees the crowds. Those who longed for some message, some guidance, some mercy from God. Matthew notes that this compassion Jesus feels for the crowds is because of their utter lostness. They are harassed. They are helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. It wasn't that there was a lack of shepherds. If anything, there were plenty of them. The Pharisees, the priests, the Levites, Sadducees, the Essenes, even the Zealots. Those who would be Israel's leaders and teachers, their shepherds, but none of them were shepherding. Plenty of shepherds, but no one shepherding. This wasn't also anything new. Back in the book of Ezekiel, which was written around 575 B.C., in chapter 34, God issues warning after warning to those shepherds of Israel. He accuses them of feeding themselves, not instead of the sheep, but feeding themselves by killing the sheep. In Ezekiel 34, chapter 34, verse 3, here's what the Lord says. You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you don't feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. Is that the kind of shepherds we want to be? They were scattered because of their shepherds. Not because of the lack of one. In Ezekiel and also in Jeremiah and Zechariah, God promises as he gathers that scattered flock, he will raise up shepherds who will care for them. And one in particular from the line of David who will out-shepherd them all. If we read through Ezekiel 34, we can see that God promises a shepherd just like the one David sang about in Psalm 23. I will search for them, he says. I will seek them out. I will rescue them. I will bring them out. I will gather them. I will feed them. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. And he closes by saying, and you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God. It bears reading that whole chapter in Ezekiel to really see the heart of God and all that he promises to do, a covenant of peace where he pronounces time after time, I will. I will, I will. Look how Matthew opens this part of his gospel. Jesus went. Those two words are key to what follows. This is the shepherd. He isn't sitting waiting for the sheep to come to him. He's moving. He's searching. He's seeking. He's gathering. When Jesus said, follow me, he could have also said, and try to keep up. It's intense shepherding. The other so-called shepherds have stopped to plan, to plot. How can they be honored? What can they gain? How can we maintain our position? They established themselves in a geographical place and expected you to follow them, even though they didn't move. They spend all their time trying to keep what they have. Jesus comes into a specific point in time, and it's geographically all over the place. Matthew notes he went through all the towns and villages, teaching, proclaiming the good news. Unlike those shepherds who sit and wait for you to come to them to speak to, confess, or complain to them, Jesus goes looking for you to teach, to proclaim. He has a message, the good news, that must be proclaimed, that the shepherd that is mentioned in Ezekiel has arrived. The kingdom of that covenant of peace he promised, teaching and proclaiming, healing every disease and sickness, going through all the towns and villages, healing every disease and sickness. Nothing is missed. And Jesus shifts their perspective from shepherding to harvesting in this passage. There is the potential for a huge harvest here, with the limited numbers of harvesters, which Jesus defines as few. He encourages those listening, his disciples, to pray for God to send more workers, more shepherds. But as Jesus went, he also goes. And there'll come a day when he is gone. Even as he is fully God, he is also fully human. And humans can only be in one place at one time. He would need to send others to do more, to cover more ground. And also being human, he won't be here on earth physically forever. Others will need to carry on the work, the shepherding. So he calls the 12 and he equips them to drive out demons and to heal not just some, but every disease and sickness. The same thing, the same works, the same healings that Jesus has done. The redemptive work of Jesus Christ was done on the cross. The proclamation of that good news is the work of his disciples. And Matthew names those first 12. Don't miss that Judas is also included there with a disclaimer. Judas, who betrayed him, was also one that was sent out as a shepherd. Remember the reason for that promise back in Ezekiel? Because Israel had shepherds who weren't shepherding. They were in it for themselves. They were robbing the people. They killed the sheep. The profit, the honor, the control is what they sought. This is continued. It's continued up to this point in Matthew, where Matthew says the sheep are harassed, helpless to do anything about it. So Jesus is going to send out these disciples with specific instructions to ensure the shepherding continues. First, do not go to the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go find the people for whom the message was intended. Find the listeners. It was the Jews through whom the Messiah was to come, the chosen people, because it was through them God would be made known to the rest of the world. Go to them first. They were to be the workers for the harvest. But more importantly, go to those lost sheep of Israel, those who are wandering, who are seeking God. Proclaim the message, offer them some relief to their problems, heal them, revive them, cleanse them. Do what the former shepherds were not doing. However, don't think you can make a profit doing it. You can't follow the money. You were given the message at no cost to you, give it in return at no cost to anyone. Pass it on. Those priests, the ones who served at the temple, were given some of the choice cuts of meat to live on. Their needs were met, and all they needed, all their needs were supplied. But they wanted more. Going all the way back to Samuel, they began to oppress the people, making demands to fill their carnal desires as well as their support. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, their decisions, their judgments, their approval could easily be bought. Their discernment was up for sale, whether you paid by gift, by money, or by honor. The disciples, all disciples, were forbidden by Jesus to do that. The disciples who are freely given the power to heal or to freely give the healing. But Jesus will push them even beyond that. They were to take no money with them, not even a bag or a wallet to carry money in. No extra clothing, no shoes, not even a staff to lean on when they got tired. Because it was through the work they would be sustained. through the generosity of those who are listening, who hear the message and choose to follow this shepherd. They would need no money bag because it would be tempting to try and save a little, to take a profit. If you carried any money, you might worry it would run out and lose faith in the Lord of the harvest to meet your needs. This is a caution the church needs to carefully consider, because a lot have fallen into this trap. When you begin to think, what can we change? What doctrines can we tweak just a little in order to get someone to come to church or even to stay? We're guilty of carrying a money bag. When we view each person through a lens of how much can they give, we are looking into the empty money bag and not the empty tomb. When that happens, what will our message become? A church that focuses on how to attract people to join rather than focus on how to deliver the message is guilty of carrying a money bag, and very quickly that consumes everything they do. You don't have to travel very far to find a church closed and shuttered because they didn't carefully consider not what message they proclaim, but whose message they proclaim. The social justice message, the self-help message, the love yourself message, the prosperity message, it's all about what can be gained. The gospel message is about what it will cost and what you will lose. Because in the kingdom of heaven, whatever you lose is what you will gain. You aren't earning anything. But Jesus placed these restrictions on those 12 because God, through the disciples they would make and the churches they would heal, would practice the gospel as it was being proclaimed. When you needed food, it would be supplied. The same with clothing. And even when you needed rest, he would provide a resting place so that you didn't even need a staff to lean on. What you need to do, the work. What's required of you to do the work is all around you. Find some worthy person to stay with. A worthy person identified as one who receives the message. If the person is worthy and the home deserving, they will accept the message of the gospel, and if they don't or they refuse, then don't offer it to them. Keep it for yourself. Move on. Don't stop and think you need to create a better marketing strategy. The more you are rejected, the more you leave behind. If a person, a town, a home rejects your message, Jesus' instructions were to move on. They've called down judgment on themselves, and we see what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not pretty. But that's not your message, not your mission. All of these were instructions to follow the example Jesus as the shepherd has laid out before them. If you are continuing his work or proclaiming the good news, then you must certainly expect to live in the same way he did, to do the things he did, right? Beginning in the synagogue, within the church building, and then out to those who are seeking, the listeners who are seeking the hope that only he can offer. It's that simple. Why do we need to make it harder than that? As his disciples, if we're going to proclaim the good news, following him, sharing his words with others, then we must also expect the same response and reaction and rejection he received. Just as many who surrounded Jesus to listen to his message, there were also many who sought for ways to trap, stop, or even kill him. So it will be for those disciples who follow him, who do what he has done. So he wants you to think as you are doing, as you are working. Don't just react emotionally to the message. Have it sure in your own mind, for you're going to be resisted in everything you do by everyone you think might be on your side. Proclaim it with common sense. Proclaim it with common sense. Be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. I've never considered myself to be very shrewd. And I became a great example a couple of years ago as to how to be as innocent as a dove, I thought. I had written a children's sermon, and at the time we tried to match the candy to the sermon. And the lesson was blind Bartimaeus and how Jesus gave him back his sight. And I thought a really cool treat would be to give those kids those little round chocolate balls that are covered with a tinfoil that looks like an eyeball. Two of them for each one of them, blind Bartimaeus. Get it, right? It's a cool idea, I thought. They're usually popular around Halloween, and it wasn't Halloween when I wrote this. But being so shrewd with my and thinking this was such a great idea, I needed that candy, and I went online and I Googled eye candy. I never realized that some firemen don't wear shirts. That's neither shrewd nor innocent. That's just dumb. Shrewd as serpents, innocent as doves, stick to the message. Think it through. Preach the gospel. Follow Jesus. And don't try to make it your message and do it your way. Don't put yourself up on a cross to preach it. The world is going to be against you at every turn. Even those closest to you, even the local leaders, those put in place to protect its citizens, will resort to physical abuse in order to stop you. When you're persecuted, don't stop, keep moving. That's what following Jesus is, movement. For all that we may or may not go through, for all that we may or may not receive, shrewd or innocent, our salvation never allows us to stand. It forces us to move. To proclaim it freely at no cost. It compels us to keep going without worrying about how the message will continue after we're gone. We must first seek and find those who are searching, see the needs of those who may not even know that it is God they are searching for. Learn to disciple others, to shepherd others. Our Christian faith shouldn't be leading us into prosperity. It can never be how we can better ourselves. It can never be that we have a right to anything because of who we are. We have a home and possessions beyond this world. That's our prosperity. We are not bettering ourselves each day, but we are being recreated through Him. And we only have one right. One. The right to be called children of God, a right given to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's our message, His message. We learn, we crave, we grow only by sharing the good news if we are following Him. To continue in His footsteps wherever it may lead, whatever we may face, whatever we may think. It's His message, His work, His righteousness. The one true shepherd who says, I will, because I am your God. In this we rejoice as the human sheep of His pasture. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, how can we not share the good news? Knowing the life and the love that you have shown to us, how can we contain it or keep it inside? How can we not proclaim your name to those who are hurting, those who are helpless, harassed, and lost? Give us the strength, the encouragement, the fortitude, the willingness to move, to preach, to witness, to testify, to grow in your love, so that all those lost may hear your name and hear of the work that you have done. As we go, Father, we ask that you hear our prayer together as we pray the words you taught us to pray when you said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.